for Mercedes-Benz Brisbane's 13% off for 13 days only. Conditions apply. See mbbrisbane.com.au.
Only a week until the Ashes start, but underway, we'll talk about that in a second. Let's talk about the Million Dollar Fish competition, and we'll do it with Matthew Hayden, super fisherman and former Ashes opener. How are you, mate?
Good, pal. Hey. Yeah, it's a pretty tough life, isn't it? Endorsing something which takes you fishing. Are you
kidding? You're too good. You're too good.
Seriously. And fellow Mahindra owner, of course, as well.
Now, how did you go with that, by the way?
Well, it's still going, mate, the red Mahindra.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, it did a new break model down. Coming
out. Don't talk about breaking down.
Well, the clutch went. Okay, but that was your son's fault. Anyway.
What was he wearing on the clutch, was he? He was probably on the beach, was he?
Yes.
Automatic driver. Yeah, yes. Automatic driver.
They go really well on the beach, I've got to say.
Not when an automatic driver's driving a manual. Tell us about Northern Territory. This is their biggest. They love this idea. They're trying to get. They reckon there were 40,000 interstate visitors went up there last year. Can you tell everyone? Because a lot of people haven't heard about the Million Dollar Fish.
Yeah, well, firstly, you just got to register. So www.milliondollarfish.com. So that gets you into the winning gates.
Just turn up to the territory and start fishing.
Mate, all you have to do is rock up and start fishing. There's five different regions, including the Tiwi Islands, that you can fish.
Yeah.
You catch the barramundi. It's got a tag in it. There's a set of conditions, you know, that are associated with the competition. But already, Marto, there's been 10 people that have caught $10,000 fish. So
there's 100. They put 100 in the water. Well, they caught them. They tagged them.
That's right. 100 $10,000 fish. And one of those bad boys is worth $1 million.
Has it ever gone off?
It hasn't gone off. Mate, you'd hear about it. Well, even as a non-fisherman, Robert, you would hear
that there would
be $1 million fish being caught.
There's plenty of the 10,000. So you're saying this season, that started in October, 10 of them gone off.
Exactly. Jeez, yep. So end of February, it all closes up. But you know, I think just getting up to the north, Marto, and I've just been up there with my mum and dad and the two boys. Once again, my young fella has outfished me. The other day, a bloke came behind the nets as we were having a hit of cricket. And he said, this guy came and said, oh, look, I just want you to sign my son's autograph. And as he walked away, Josh says, why does he want an autograph from the second best fisherman in the family?
Oh, that's good.
Ouch, they're starting to get cheeky, my boys. Yeah, but it's a lot of fun. I mean, these areas are fantastic. You love your fishing as well. It's, you know, they're wetlands and, you know, all these remarkable places up there. Brilliant.
It is called the Ashes, and it starts in Brisbane very, very soon. And we are giving away tickets. And Haydos, it does look like on paper, I don't know half of these English players' names. It's the most anonymous English team I can remember in a long time.
No, that's very true. There's probably only four names that have got any kind of notoriety as such, and the rest, who cares about? Which is actually pretty solid for us. It's a good position for Australians to be in. Who cares about the Poms?
Their spearhead is 35 years of age, James Anderson.
Yeah, but
that won't work, will it?
I think he'll go all right, Marto. But, you know, I've always thought that Anderson's a pretty good front runner as well. So, you know, I guess if you do put one on his chin early, he tends to go missing. And I think we've got the players to do that. Davey Warner, you know, enormous strike rate.
Yep.
About 70. So he'll be entertaining come first day of the test match. You've got Matty Renshaw.
You're not a ditch Matty Renshaw. You're a hang on to him.
No way. I'm definitely hanging on to Matty Renshaw. Right. You know, I watched him do the hard yards through the subcontinent. I mean, there's going to be calls for someone like Bancroft to come in and try and bankroll Matt. But actually, I think Bancroft should come in full stop as a wicketkeeper.
Whoa!
Right. You know, so for mine, I like the fact that he's scoring runs because, you know, whilst we haven't got a genuine all rounder, that's Mitchell Marsh is obviously there, but he can't bowl.
Yeah.
No. You know, so I think you need a wicket keeping all rounder, similar to an Adam Gilchrist. Ooh, that shores up your batting lineup. It allows you to play Maxwell and him to just play his natural game.
But Ed, will he be able to pick Nathan Lyon's spin?
I think you underrate Nathan Lyon. You know,
we sure do.
Yeah, well, I think he'll show you this summer why you need a genuine frontline spinner. You can't play four quicks, mate. You know, that formula doesn't work for Australia.
No.
They become too predictable on our conditions, and even the Poms will handle that okay, I think.
Now, Matty, it is the Gabba is the first test, and we know that, and you know that it sets the tone. It sets the tone for the series. If you go, you know, I don't think Australia has not lost a test, an opening test there in a number of years.
Since 1988, I think it is.
Since 1988. Wow. Hold on. Well, I want to play you something that Graham Swan said on the BBC. They were talking about the whitewash when Mitchell Johnson decided he was, you know, when he just was bowling rockets that summer.
Is this the one that he went home on that tour? Is that the same Graham Swan?
That's the one where he retired. Oh, right, it's okay. When he retired halfway through.
Is that 2013? Is that 4 years
yes,
ago?
Yeah, that's the one. Oh. This is Graham Swan. They're talking about the first test at the Gabba, and this is him describing what it's like with the crowd and the atmosphere at the Gabba.
It's a cauldron at the Brisbane. It's feral, the atmosphere almost. It's loud and it's in your face, it's raucous. It's not exactly politically correct. They put that big ICC things on saying no sledging can be on the basis of race, gender or sexual orientation. Well, pretty much everything you get said to you is based on all three.
Now, Marto, what were you doing at the cricket standing in front of Graham Swan?
Magnificent, isn't it? That was the year we were dressed as Santas too. It was wonderful. How hot was that?
But look, he's going in pretty hard there, but it does, yeah. Ados, he does say that the Brisbane crowd, we have to be up and about. We have to put the English on the back foot. We have to be all over them, don't we?
Yeah, look, as G-Man says there, you've got to set the tone in Brisbane Test match. And, you know, there can't be a better place for us as Australians to get behind. The strength of our attack really is our bowling attack. You know, so you've got Cummins and Stark and Hazelwood. They're going to be steaming in. There's nothing better than scraping the bottom of the Pom's chins off the ground at the Gabba than when you come to the first day of the Test match. And we're all into them. The players are into them. So it's going to be game on again for sure.
Yes.
And far be it from me to bring fashion into this very important cricket chat.
What? I don't know what you got to say.
I want to know about what you were wearing on the Alinta ad, the electricity ad that you've done.
Your jacket was incredibly wide.
Yeah, it has. Well, I'm not exactly the slimmest human being on the planet, I wouldn't have thought.
I am looking at your chest going, you are very broad-chested.
It's enormous, yeah.
Well,
you really
are. It was a dark
are.
Suit on a dark scene, so, you know, and I...
Was it a bit
Queenslander,
big for you?
But what sort of Queenslander, like, does the button up, for goodness sake?
Yeah, that's what
I mean, who cares whether I'm looking extremely slender on a set or not? No.
Thanks, Ados.
Good on you guys.
See ya.
Yeah, good morning. Bit of traffic coming through on 133.53. Adam from Acacia Ridge says, 3 car nose to tail on the Logan motorway. That is westbound just past Kingston Road.
Not again.
Off ramp, yeah, I know. Traffic back to the M1, so that's nasty. And Natasha from Algester says, accident on Ipswich Road at Annerley. That's going towards Maruka. 2 lanes are blocked. So that's not good either. 133.53 if you do spot anything.
Play the music.
Well, it's hardly music, but it's that time of the week on a Wednesday when we have a look back. Mm-hmm. We've done it before. I can't go through all of them, but it started at the Bullens Lion Safari, and then we had a chuckle and went, gee, people love looking backwards, don't they?
Yeah, we did lots of school stuff and corporal punishment, and then we did roller skating.
Anyway. And today I remembered my mates. I grew up at West Chermside. My great mates grew up at Aspley, next door to Greg Norman.
Oh.
What an And we used to look, he was 17 or 18. Remember, he won that first tournament.
I do.
He was still living at home. We just thought he was a surfer, but he used to sometimes do the chipping in the backyard. We would have been 8 or 9 or 10 or something like that. And he used to look at him and go, oh, he had a really, really white hair. Thought he was a loser, but I wish we'd got something signed. Anyway. So I asked the question on Facebook. God, mate, this has gone a little bit crazy. This bloke, Phil, Peter Dutton was bullying a younger student at my school, so I hit him. Does that count?
If that counts, that's awesome.
Used to go surfing with the daddos. My piano teacher, Mrs. can't remember her last name, she had one arm, also taught the Bee Gees.
Oh.
Wow.
That's from Huey.
One-armed piano teacher that taught the Bee Gees.
Yep.
That's fantastic. Okay, this is the game we're playing. Who did you grow up with? Which big name did you grow up with in and around your suburb? Was it your school? Was it someone that you played footy with or played sport with? Were you in a choir? Were you in a choir
with Kerri-Anne Kenley?
Yeah, exactly right.
Ian went to school with Andy Bickle.
Hang on.
I was in Grant Bowler's class at Churchy. I know I think he's a reasonably successful actor. Is that
Grant
true?
Grant Bowler is a reasonably successful actor who's reasonably successful over in America in sort of sci-fi series now.
Is he?
Bowler.
Isn't he from A Country Practice or one of those?
Yeah, he was in one of those.
He
was
did
in
the
one
mole,
of
didn't he? Oh,
he did the mole,
bruh.
He did the mole.
He did the first incarnation.
Goodness.
Wow.
This is fantastic.
My sister-in-law went to school with Stephen Bradbury. Thanks, Brendan.
Oh, I wonder if he fell over at the last minute.
Okay, back in your day, back in my day, which big name did you grow up with? No link too tenuous.
Scott from G-Bung, can you add to this list who you got?
I've got Eric Banadanovich, otherwise known as Eric Banner.
Hey, oh, now this must have been in, was it in Victoria?
It was. Okay. It was at the Essendon Grammar School. He basically walked around in different characters most of the day.
Oh, he did.
Including the vice principal's character. Yeah. He could come up behind you, take off the vice principal and scare the bejesus out of you.
even back then he was doing it. Because people forget, the serious actor that we know now, that Eric Banner was a fantastic comedian for a long time. There you go, Scotty. Yeah. There you go. Good stuff.
He won the perpetual trophy every year. He just basically wrote his name on it and walked away with it.
Trophy for what? Academic or sporting or what?
No, it was perpetual trophy for just getting up there and doing different acts within the school. They had
showing off.
An artist type thing, yeah.
Right, I remember that.
Banovic.
I got it as Banadanovic.
Oh, nice.
Banadanovic. Thank you, mate. That's pretty good. Eric Banner, we're off to a flyer here. Brendan's from North Lakes. Brendan, big name you grew up with.
Paul Green, current coach of the Cowboys. We went to school together in 1989. We won the schoolboys state championship, played in Townsville. And, Paul Green.
Where were you? Wynnum High, or where did he go to school?
Wynnum High, that's correct.
Wynnum High. When did the nude run at around Christmas start down that way?
Well, I went to McGregor High. We didn't go to the same high school, but we played for the same representative team.
Yeah. Brendan's distancing himself from that. Good idea, Brendan.
He's a nice fella now. Was he a nice fella then?
Greeny, the only thing that Greeny wanted to do was to play representative rugby league. He obviously achieved that and went through with Trevor Shadell, I think, who played for Canberra as well. So, lots of famous players come out of Wynnum High, yeah.
Well,
everyone's talking
Shadell.
Well, people are talking Shadell. Don't think they're not talking Shadell.
Hall of Famer. Can I just go to my Facebook for a couple of last ones? Lisa says she grew up two doors up in Kenmore from Greg Chappell.
Ooh, wonderful. Does that mean that there was all the Chappells or Greg as an adult?
No, that would have been Greg as an adult.
When he was captain.
Oh, Alan Border lives in Kenmore.
Oh, what a suburb.
I see him in Coles.
And
what a suburb. We should probably close the whole joint down and make it a museum.
What about Bo? Kenmore. Bo used to see Brad Myers jog past every afternoon.
Former Queensland. Well, it's Big Red, the Queensland back rower.
That's
Why
right.
Why would they tease him? What would they say?
Because he's got red hair. They probably were.
Oh, the ranger.
Yeah, I don't know. Brad, if you're listening, and I know you do sometimes, give us a yell, and if you want us to get those kids, I'll track them down.
Matt of Moray Fields.
Yeah.
Who is that big person that you live near?
Jonah Lomu.
Wow.
Huge.
Where was this?
I was finishing high school, and he just started, and he stepped into high school, stepped into the first 15 rugby and terrified everybody.
Was he enormous when he was 14?
He was just, it wasn't the fact that he was so big that he just didn't seem to feel anything. He'd just go straight through people like they weren't there.
Mm, yep.
Courageous. There were a lot of kids at lunchtime who used to jump on his shoulders and stuff.
Really? He was actually probably one of the mildest persons you ever want to meet.
Gentle giant. Matt, well played. Beautiful work. Jonah Lomu. And we're bringing it home with Christine from Ormo. Christine, the big names that you grew up with?
Grew up in Ipswich. So I went to school with Alfie Langer, Kevin Walters. They were all at Brisbane Boys Grammar.
Ipswich Boys Grammar.
Yep. Yeah, and then, of course, dated a boy who played cricket with Craig McDermott.
Look at you.
Christine, this was invented for you, this segment.
let's go through it. How did they go at school, the Walters kiddies?
Well, they were up at the grammar school, so of course, separated school.
Alfie didn't go to Ipswich Grammar, did he? The Walters boys got offered scholarships, so Alfie didn't. Mm.
So we used to see him when he was out partying on Friday nights and weekends after the game, and then we'd go watch them play at the Jets.
Hang on, Alan Langer was out partying? Are you sure it was him, Christine?
They all used to party after games.
Where would they party? In the Switch?
Goodness.
Used to be the old race course.
At what age are we talking?
Would have been grade 12, so late 80s.
Yeah. Who did the girls all like? Is it Kerrid, Kevin or Alfie? Who was the most popular with the ladies?
It was the Walters boys.
Was it a whole package you had to take?
Oh, no, you, it was just hard to pick because they were such nice boys. They were always good. They were always nice, and they haven't changed as they've gotten older.
Wow. Jeez, what a world! Nice now back guy. To this bloke that was friends with Craig McDermott. Is that was the
played cricket. With local Brisbane cricket.
Yes. Okay. All right. We could talk all day, Christine, but we do need to move on.
Troy of Camp Hill. Who was it? Where was it?
Rockhampton Grammar in the early 80s. Went to school with Gary Larson and Jason Etherington.
Oh, that'll do me.
The horse and the polar bear.
That'll do me.
My goodness. I don't know who they are.
Tackling machine and
just a wonderful bald hooker. And tell me, Troy, were they good at footy? Were they good at school?
I'm not real sure about the school part of thing, but they were both legends. And I went into the gym one day, and Gary Larson had been on the incline leg press, and I jumped on after him and ended up with my knees around my throat, thinking, how the hell am I going to get this off me?
What a memory.
I remember he was standing in the doorway there in the calendar, and he had his arms sort of up above the door, and he just looked like an Adonis. He looked like that in grade 10, the kid. Like, he was just unbelievable. He was very, very, very strong.
Gary Larson.
Isn't he amazing? He's genetically strong.
And he played first 15 for Rocky Grammar when he was in grade 10.
Wow. Yep. Okay.
Incredible.
Thank you, Troy. That
Thank
is exactly
you,
what
God, he was good
about.
At origin level. I love Gary Larson and Jason Hetherington, too.
Okay. God. Gary of Yeronga. Who was it? Where'd you go?
Pete Murray.
Oh, lived near him, or what was the story about Pete Murray?
I went to school with him. He was like a year or so ahead of me, school captain and all that kind of thing. He was big in sports and that kind of thing.
Because he was trying to be, we're talking about the singer Pete Murray. Was he was attempting to be a professional rugby player, was he not?
He wasn't bad.
Yes, he was.
What school?
Which school are we talking?
Chinchilla State High School.
Oh.
That can't be too big, the Chinchilla, I reckon. Robin would have been captain of the first there.
Well, he's a handsome fellow. Did he struggle with the ladies back then?
I don't think so.
No.
I think he had a girlfriend and that kind of thing. Yeah, wow. Absolutely.
And that kind of thing. Thank you, Gary. Excellent.
John of Albany Creek. Oh, another one. Who'd you go to school with? Where was it?
Hello.
Hi, John. Yep, it's you.
Who was it, John?
Yeah. Mick Hancock. Went to Banyo High with him, 1983, grade 10. Yeah. We played in the footy team. We played at North Banyo together.
Devils.
He went on to be a Bronco. I went off and got married and had kids.
Wow. Now, don't sound so bummed out when you say that, John. John, you're going to have to say that again with a much more enthusiastic tone in your voice.
Was he always humping the ground at that stage, John, down at Banyo? Was he giving it to the ground?
Jesus.
Yes and no, but I think that's where he picked it up from.
Yeah. Yes and no. Was that
it was
perfecting
There was also Mark Murray. He was
the Muppet.
The phys ed teacher over at Nudgee Primary when we were going to high school there.
Muppet Murray, he played a few Origin games too at halfback, Robin, before Alfie.
Wow.
Steve Renouf. Steve Renouf.
What about him?
Went to high school with him too, but he went back up the Mergan.
I thought he was in Mergan.
I'm going home.
You win, buddy.
Right, John, you win, man. This segment's done. No one's ever going to beat John the Muppet, the ground leader, and the Pearl. Wow. Finally.
Adam McDougall is the Health Hacker.
Health hacking is simply hacking into the tools, tricks, and routines of the healthiest, happiest, and most successful people in the world and applying these little tricks and routines into your own life. I'm a health hacker because I've been a professional athlete for 20 years, but I've also combined my experience as an athlete with my university studies, from economics to nutrition and sports science, with the practical application that I achieved as an athlete to help people hack into their health. In each episode, I'm going to share with you the tools, tricks, and routines of the healthiest, happiest, and most successful people in the world. You can hack into your own health and live a happier and healthier life.
The Health Hacker with Adam McDougall. Listen now at podcastone.com.au or download the Podcast One app.
Socceroos tonight. It is obviously the crucial World Cup qualifier. We have to. So this simple. If it's nil all, it goes to extra time. If it's a score draw, one all, two all, three, we lose on the way goals, like happened against Iran. Let's not bring that up. And if we win and we go to the World Cup. We know that going to the World Cup is worth millions and millions and millions of dollars. It's also basically the shot in the arm that soccer gets every 4 years to
it's
make
now
it
or never, Ed. It's now or never.
But it's also, like, I will say this, that my youngest son, my kids are fantastically passionate about soccer. I was trying to find a good adjective. And this morning, my youngest, who's just turned 13, was having night terrors, which happens occasionally. And I went up to him and I actually thought something was seriously wrong because he was screaming his lungs out and he's saying, "Go, Tim! Go, Tim!" And I'm thinking, who the hell is Tim? And it went on for about 5 or 10 minutes and then finally said, "Just get it in the goal!"
So he's having...
having dreams about Tim Cahill.
Who is fantastic.
What was our former Prime Minister called, Tim? I thought he was harking back to that.
Which Prime Minister was called?
No, deputy.
Head of the country party. Julie Gillard's.
Oh, Tim, the hairdresser.
Oh, the hairdresser.
Yeah, the dresser.
That's the first boyfriend.
Someone has to score that's not Tim Cahill. Fox Sports got the website here.
How else can we score it?
Well, the problem is that of the 83 goals in Postecoglou's 48-game reign, only Cahill has got double figures. Jurik 7, Leckie 5, Burns 3, Cruz 2, and then Jednak scores penalties. So someone, Rogic, Luongo, maybe this is your night. This is your night, Aaron Mooy. He plays in the Premier League. He's our best player probably now. This is his night. Like Aloisi when he scored that penalty all those years ago, and Bresciano had that game in Sydney where he got us to the World Cup. Has to be his night. This is it.
He used to like backing into the defence, Bresciano, didn't he? He always went backwards.
And he was bald too. Two baldies. Yeah. We need a bald hero tonight.
So hang on. But the Hondurans are bringing back two players that are really
good. Basically their two best players are coming back. And also I think they kind of learned something towards the end of the game. They got this couple of a fast winger and a big striker. I think they're going to smack it over the top and try and get our slower defenders out on the wings to try and get crosses in that way.
So have they got a tall guy in the middle there?
Yeah, they do. Now,
remember that guy we used to have, the Jesus guy?
Yeah, Josh Kennedy. Yeah, Josh Kennedy.
Where's he when you need him for another campaign? Why can't we wheel him out? Because he was tall.
Roll back the rock. Roll back the rock on his cave.
How do you decide? How the goalkeeper decide what colour he wears? Because
good question. The trend has gone towards pink massively with the Nike goalkeepers, and I don't like it. But apparently it's extremely good because it means it's really clear. You can see him everywhere you look.
Yeah, but why do you want to see him? I reckon he should have a camo, like a net.
Not allowed to.
A net jersey, and then they wouldn't know, where's the keeper? Oh, where did he come from?
Okay, so Ed, what's your prediction? What's the score?
I can't do it.
Come on, you have to.
No, I can't do it. Will we win? I'm too nervous. I'm too nervous. I don't know. I don't know.
7-0. Okay.
7-0.
Oh my God. Yep, and then we'll put the rack in the queue and go, that'll do. See you in Russia. What time? Hey, give me a
7
time.
7 o'clock tonight.
7 o'clock on Channel 9.
No, Fox Sports, but if you have to, Channel 9.
What's going to happen to Tracy Grimshaw?
Oh, oh no, she'll be right.
Channel 9
she'll
Go, right. So Channel 9.
Yeah, they won't move the fast food
I don't know how you get to Channel 9 Go.
Channel 9 and soccer is oil and water. They cannot do it. Like last time they had a game of soccer on, they went to Brad Fittler at the wall, and I thought, that's it, I'm out.
I think Mark Nicholas halftime analysis.
Yeah, Brett Lee talking. When Tony Gregg put a key in the pitch at the start, I thought, that's it. You people don't know what you're doing.
Marto, Ed and Robin on Triple M.
The dual citizenship fiasco claimed another victim yesterday as Jackie Lambie. Jackie Lambie was forced to resign after she found out that she was Scottish. Now, let's not forget who brought Jackie Lambie into the Senate.
Oh,
Sir. Yes.
Clive Palmer. She was member of the Palmer United Party. And I remember when she defected and said, I'm an independent now. He said, that seat cost me $7 million approximately.
That's basically what he said. I think the seat cost him that much because it kept breaking when he sat there. Come on. Jackie Lambie was Clive Palmer, Jackie, and Dio Wang.
Oh, Dio Wang.
Oh, wow.
Name,
I haven't heard that for ages.
Yeah, Wang. Where did Wang go?
Mate, no one's had any Wang for ages. No. He is dead set out of it. But she was genuinely, by the looks of things, yesterday when they were saying goodbye, much loved, Marto. You and I both commented this morning,
did
Robin,
you see
when they
it,
were
Robin?
Saying goodbye, they were all of them.
That was genuine.
Yeah, they loved it.
It was genuine and not one bum reach or anything like that.
But
yeah,
do you know
sometimes
why?
That burns.
I think that she doesn't have the party machine behind her. And the fact that she is up there front and centre and we know her name says to me that she's a hard worker, whether you agree with her politics or not.
Okay, interesting.
She is there. Yeah. And the other thing about her that you've got to remember remember that since she's been in Parliament, her son has had this massive drug problem. He's been suicidal. There's a lot of things that would endear her to the people who work closest to her.
Do you want to hear some of her? This is some of her saying goodbye yesterday.
I just want to say thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be in here. One day I do hope to be here. Actually, one day I don't really care which side it's on, but I do hope to come back. But once again, thank you so much, and it's been an absolute pleasure of representing my country again, just not this time in uniform. So thank you.
Okay, so off she went.
Wow, there was a few angles there because she used to be in the military. I liked all that.
Yeah, she hit them all, and she's hoping to come back as in one of the other parties. That's what she was.
What does that mean? She's had her job application right there.
It did feel like one of those when she's no longer Scottish, but that's not what I'm going to remember Jackie for.
Ooh, what are you going to remember Jackie for?
I'm going to remember Jackie for in 2014. She was on Hobart Radio, and let's not forget that she's famously single, Jackie Lambie. Let's not forget that in 2014, she was doing a radio interview in Hobart, and they were doing callers like, what type of bloke would you like, Jackie? And then they were taking callers, and she was speaking to callers. Yeah, it was like a dating show on the radio, and this is some of what went down.
You haven't had a relationship for 8 years.
No, about 11, I think.
11?
Yeah.
11 years.
Yeah, that's why.
Why is that?
Not so worried about my waxing. I guess because I was physically and psychologically damaged, but for so long, and I was just, you know, between, I guess, sharing the love. There was only sort of enough between with my two sons, and I was just depleted. I had nothing else left.
Would you like Kim and Dave to find love for you?
Here we go.
Like The Bachelorette.
Oh,
we find love for Jackie.
Let's find love now. They must have heaps of cash and they've got to have a package between their legs. Let's be honest.
There we go.
That's right. Wow.
Heaps of cash and a package between their legs. Isn't that Cassie Sainsbury? She had a package stashed somewhere.
The following is an official announcement from the Australian government.
Over the past few years, thought crime has reached record levels. Subversion is rife. Our enemies are everywhere.
Trust no one.
Luckily, there is an answer.
Peter Dutton.
No, not Peter Dutton.
Thank God.
Introducing a new series on Podcast One that interrogates the real threats to Australia, like John Safran, Rob Sitch, and children's author Andy Griffiths.
Oh, God, I love those Treehouse books.
Who will survive? Who will fail? Introducing Extreme Vetting with The Chaser.
The Chaser.
The only show with the power of life and death over its guests.
Listen at podcastone.com.au or via the Podcast One app.
Your expertise is required.
What expertise?
Well, it looks like the Bureau of Meteorology staff are going to strike.
The bomb people?
Yeah, the bomb people. The community and public sector union said its members would be legally protected to strike at any time.
What's their problem?
Between 4:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. from today until next Tuesday with further action possible.
What do they want?
Well, they're going to walk off the job because of which will cause maximum disruptions. I'm just continuing on because they're not very clear about what. Oh, it's a long running dispute centres on enterprise bargaining negotiations. The weather's
upset.
What
do we want? Lower isobaric pressure. Like, what are they going to? What are they look?
I thought you were starting a protest chant. What do we want?
Yes,
low isobaric pressure. When do we want it? Before the next cyclone.
Well, you are the guy. You've done Channel 10 weather before.
The TV guys aren't striking because they know that's the easiest, cushiest job in the whole world.
He's gone weatherman again. This is one of these things, Robin.
They work for 3 hours, 3 minutes a day.
Yeah, you almost said 3 hours and then you realised that was you.
Lazy bastards. You radio people got it so easy.
So do you have any message for the Weather Bureau people? Because your world will be
enough.
Very...
It's like working at the Forex Brewery. Like, it's a joy. What a joyous place to... apart from you got to talk to other weather people. Jesus. Yeah, that's a point. Actually, that might be what they're going. Just personal cubicles. Because if you have to talk to another weather person, God, they're dull. You have to talk to me and I apologise.
Are you going to cross the
picket line? Southeasterly?
Would you be a scab, Marto, if they strike? Would you cross the picket line?
Oh, jump in, God, yeah.
Would you?
Oh, first touch of the weather, yeah, because I'm only getting my weather secondhand after they've had their dirty mitts all over the bloody thing. I get interpreted in completely different ways.
Are you worrying that they're distorting the weather for their own purposes?
Why not?
Is that
conspiracy?
What it is?
A conspiracy. Like, there are some days when I reckon it's a northeast and they've got it down as a southeast, and I go, what are you clowns doing?
Bastards.
Yeah, exactly. Manipulation.
So watch out.
Sack a lot of them.
It's like Russia with the US election.
I remember when Sir Joe, when he was in power.
Here we go.
And he remember when he sacked all the power workers and we started afresh. Yep. Nothing happened. Yep. Everyone went, oh, we're not going to have any power. Oh, we're not this.
So you're going to be the weather guy from now on. If it all comes crashing down and boom, the website is no longer up, we can rely on you.
Well, you can't rely on me, but can you rely on weather guys? No. It's just a whole new bunch of unreliable people.
Okay, very good. This has turned into a large rant, so we're going to get out of here.
Okay.
It's almost 9 o'clock.
Don't be scared.
Which means the results from the same-sex marriage
survey.
We'll
ring Wally soon to propose.
Just minutes away. As soon as they come through, you'll have them here on
Triple
M. You
could do it on the news. When you're doing the weather tonight, you can say, well, and that's obviously a southeasterly, and then just get down on one knee and say, now, Wally, there's something...
I've been wanting something to ask him for some time, but now the government's cleared it. Let's get married before Christmas. Oh, can you imagine, just before the toss and the anthem, first day of the Ashes test, marrying Wally Lewis? Wouldn't that say a lot to Australia?
What
Slats would be there and Mark Nicholas. Oh, yes, groovy.
Well, Wally is married to a woman, but don't let that get in your way.
Alan Langer, what a beautiful flower girl. What a beautiful...
in his skin-coloured undies. Okay.
So there's by-elections going on all around the country now from one seat because of all these dual citizen fiasco. But let's not forget the big Queensland state election, November 25. It's heating up. And Channel 7's political correspondent, Patrick Condren, joins us. So, Pat, the decision, the same-sex marriage survey is obviously going to come out today. It looks like a yes vote's going to get in. Is that going to affect the election at all, are you hearing?
It will affect the election in that it will suck a lot of oxygen out of the Queensland campaign. So I came up to Cairns last night at about midnight with Nichols on the little charter plane, and he acknowledged that. He said, absolutely, there will be a whole lot of focus on that result today and the subsequent effort of the federal parliamentarians to decide exactly which way and what's going to happen and all that sort of business. So it will suck all the oxygen out of the Queensland campaign. So they'll lose a day of not getting their message out at the top of the news bulletin. But the other thing that will impact, I think, more significantly on the Queensland election is the citizenship crisis, debacle, fiasco. I could go on, but we've only got a certain amount
That's
of
enough.
Time. It will it gives the impression of instability in the federal government. Now, I think that when voters go to the ballot boxes on November the 25th, and even those going to pre-polling now, they will be looking at that and saying, that is a dog's breakfast. That is all over the shop like a mad dog's breakfast. And they want stability in Queensland. So they will want to vote for stability, and that will play into Labor's favour, I think, at the end of the day.
Because aren't we at risk, sort of, certainly at the moment, of there being a hung parliament? And the last time that happened, that was an absolute debacle.
Well, we've just had a hung parliament in Queensland with Anastasia Palaszczuk, and she managed to cobble it together for 3 years. And I certainly think in a federal arena, Gillard had a hung parliament and managed to get a swag of legislation through. A hung parliament doesn't necessarily mean a dysfunctional parliament. It certainly can mean a dysfunctional parliament, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it will be inoperable.
Inoperable. Patrick Condren, Channel 7 political correspondent. Mardo's got his hand up. He's keen to ask you something.
Oh, all I wanted to know was, you know, they're having it the same weekend on day three of the first Ashes test. Let's say Australia get in and make 492, you know, seven declared. Righto, Matt Renshaw gets 180.
Fantastic.
And then England bat on the Friday. They're 7 for 48. All right, come Saturday morning. Does that favourable to the incumbent or the opposition if we're in a good posse and everyone's feeling great?
Wow. Can you ask me one about golf? I'm more of whiskers. I hear you. I mean, I think a whole lot of cricket fans are going to be peeved if that is the situation and they still have to go and vote.
No, there's a box at the Gabba. Apparently there's an electoral, if you're at the Gabba on Vulture Street, so you're coming in from the Vulture Street end, you can vote on your way in.
It's also a urinal, which is really helpful.
Well, the politicians are taking the piss all the time. So
hey, you know, let's leave it there. Patrick Condren, Channel 7 political reporter. Let's not forget that election's coming November 25. See you soon, mate.
See you guys.